is like blaming the sun for all the darkness. During my radio show this last week, I was talking about how blaming God for all of the evils in this world, again, is like blaming the sun for darkness. In other words, God is blamed for the evils in this world rather than the good that he gave and still gives through Jesus Christ, John 3:16, and that he continuously gives through his mercy on a daily basis to each and every one of us. Read Psalm 103. There's a story told of a man in a London airport who decided to purchase some English butter cookies. He opened the small tin, took one out, then placed the tin at his feet. Now, after waiting for some time, a middle-aged woman smiled politely and sat next to him. And to his astonishment, without a word of permission, she reached down, took a cookie out of the tin, and she ate it. He couldn't believe what this complete stranger had just done. Suspecting that it may be a local custom, he smiled awkwardly and took a second cookie himself. She then took a third. Then she took the very last cookie, looked at him, broke it in half, and offered it to him. The audacity of this woman, different words such as impudent, rude, brazen, and presumptuous flashed through his mind. As he was about to express his thoughts, he bent down and saw that his identical tin of cookies was still at his feet. And in an instant, he realized that he had been the brazen, rude, and impudent person. He had been eating the cookies of a complete stranger. He also realized how her response to his actions had, in truth, been very gracious. Now, when you look a little deeper at the plight that man has put himself in, you will find that it is man and sin that man chose to commit, which are responsible for the evils in the world, James 1:12, not God. Man not following the rule of God's government is the very reason evil exists in this world. It always has been, and it always will be. There are so many wars within and without that, well, they could simply be prevented if man would subject himself to the meek King of Glory, and yet because he rebels against his God and his Creator, wars continue and man has the audacity to blame his God. When you go through the Ten Commandments, you can see the reason for the evil in which we see in this world. Number one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you serve other gods? Number two is, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. Do you serve a God that, well, overlooks lying, stealing, adultery, so on and so forth? Number three is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do you practice what you preach? Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you honor your God by giving your heart to him and your hand to man? Number five, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Do you hold your parents in high esteem? Number six is, thou shalt not kill. Are you angry with your brother without a cause? Matthew 5. Number seven is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you looked upon a man or a woman to lust after them? Again, Matthew 5. Number eight is, thou shalt not steal. Have you stolen something, great or small, regardless of its value? Number nine is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have you told a lie before? Number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Have you lusted after something that does not belong to you? Read Exodus 20 in the whole. Remember what Noah Webster said. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Friends, have you despised or neglected God's holy laws and precepts contained in the Bible? Because therein lies the evil that prevails in this world, Romans 7:14 through 25. And before blaming a merciful God for the darkness that man is responsible for, we might want to take a step back and realize that it was God the Father that gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for man's violation towards God's holy law in John 3:16 in order to establish the light. And we are going to be up in 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. God calls to the Christian churches today. It is to come forth from their hiding place. Just as Elijah came forth and meet the king, declare the ground on which you meet the enemies of God and meet them in the name of Jesus Christ. John G. Lake. E.M. Bounds was correct when he stated that God's church is a militant host. Its warfare is with unseen forces of evil. God's people, he said, compose an army fighting to establish his kingdom in this earth. Their aim is to destroy the kingdom of Satan and to erect the kingdom of God over its ruins, which is, said E.M. Bounds, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This militant army is composed of individual soldiers of the cross. The army of God is its defense, and prayer is the added power that crowns it all.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker, boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome back to the Sons of Liberty, friends. Thanks for joining us today. Totally appreciate your trust. We know why you listen, and because the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. And if you want resolve, then we understand that we go back to making the point of reference concerning the Word of God, which brings answers to all of the issues men face on a daily basis. It's just that simple. It really is. So anyways, with that said, friends, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. We are going to have our friend from USS Liberty survivor Phil Turney with us in just a couple of minutes. Yesterday, I'd had an individual say to me, you know, I'm tired of all of this bashing. All of this bashing concerning these Israelites. And I just said to him, I said, are you kidding me? Guy, you have to understand something. You're protecting those or attempting to protect those that are bashing you if you don't wake up. Because that's the bottom line. And this has been going on in this country for a long, long time. And the reason I'm bringing that up, friends, is because that's exactly what you're going to hear from Phil Turney. It was the IDF that attacked them. And if you don't know who the IDF is, friends, it is the Israeli Defensive Forces. And what they did is they wanted to blame Egypt for their attack in 1968 on the ship USS Liberty, only to start a Third World War. That's exactly what it was about. And again, I don't want to get into too much of that right now. But and as far as bashing goes, I do want to ask and propose the question really quick, if you wouldn't mind. The same people responsible for Gaza right now, what's going on in the Gaza Strip, how they're being decimated, how they're under attack, how they're being removed, how they're being slaughtered through this modern-day genocide by modern-day Israel, namely Netanyahu, Mayakovsky, the same people that are responsible for what's going on in Gaza right now. I want to put this into perspective for you, friends, so you can understand to the severity as to which I'm trying to do my best in opening your eyes and your ears to, okay? And I'm saying this for the very purpose that the same same people that are responsible for this genocide taking place in Gaza are also the same people that claim that they run the President of the United States of America and all of our politicians. I want you to contemplate what I just said to you right now. Do you think for one moment if they can get away with what they're doing, concerning the Gaza Strip right now? Do you think that that's not what's coming to America? Because you see all this said representatives in this current administration showing their allegiance to modern-day Israel. Okay? Again, Rothschild's Israel. They're showing their allegiance to them. They're taking our money and funding them to do the things that they're doing to Gaza. And if the Bible says, which it does in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, that God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Do you think that you're going to partake with that and not reap what you're allowing your said representatives to do to that prospective people? I also want to remind everybody here that you've heard me say this before. I said this on Stan Monty's shows years ago. And we were talking about what was going on, and he was asking or proposing the question, why is Americans hated by third world countries? And I said, Stan, we're hated by third world countries because of what we allow our politicians to do to those countries. Now they're here, and they want vengeance. They want to repay the American people a just recompense for what they, the American people, have allowed their said representatives to do to their countries. Okay? Just think about what I'm saying, folks, because the Lord is not going to overlook any sense of the iniquity in any sense of the word. He said it clearly. He will not look over or overlook any iniquity. That's lawlessness. You will be repaid to your face. I want to go back over to Mylakowski. You know him as Netanyahu. Back in 1980, and I just want to see if you can put two and two together. And I'm not saying that to condescend, but I am saying to the people that are not paying attention or feel that I'm bashing anybody, I want to put it into perspective for them. This is 1980. Again, none other than Netanyahu Mylakowski. That's his real name. Okay, reporter, we don't have America with us. USA is not a unified block. Okay, here's Netanyahu. We have the Senate, the Congress, and the record strong Jewish lobby on our side. It's called AIPAC, Americans. This is in 1980. We have a strong influence over the general support in America. Well, because they rest assured that professed Christians don't read their Bible, so when they claim to be the children of God, because they don't know their Bible, they're just going to take it for face value because they don't judge them according to the way that Jesus told us that we're to judge men in Matthew 7, 16, and 20. We have a strong influence over the general support in America. America won't force us into anything. Okay, so you just heard that, and I just wanted to make clear that you understand that this is the same guy going around in his backyard and telling all of those countries in his region that he dictates Donald Trump and the United States of America. And if you can see all of what's going on concerning your representatives, the 250 said legislators that were over there right after the alleged assassination of Charlie Kirk, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what wakes you up or what is going to wake you up. I wanted to play this as well, friends, because you need to understand that their objective here is to shut the American people's mouth, namely Christians, even going so far as to attempt to go ahead and stifle free speech, along with changing scripture and omitting scripture that points the finger at them for their crimes that they're guilty of when they said, "Your blood be upon us." Listen to this.
Stop a bill proposed by members of his coalition to make it criminal to tell people about Jesus in Israel.
These are the same people.
Live near Tel Aviv with more. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, everyone. A big story just before, days before Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. Sacred time.
This is in Israel, modern-day Israel, attacking Christians.
Netanyahu's coalition have introduced a bill that would punish believers for sharing the gospel of Jesus with prison time.
Prison time.
Judaism Knesset members Moshe Gafni
proselytizing.
And Yaakov Asher introduced legislation last week.
These are the people dictating your said representatives, people.
Produce content online, in print, or by mail. Their explanation of the bill emphasizes a warning to stop Christians in particular.
Boy, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? And guess who they have supporting them? Those that profess to be Christians. Guess who's attacking professed Christians? Modern-day Israel. Again, people, if only you would wake up for your own sakes. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with our friend Phil Turney, USS Liberty survivor. And again, we'll be right back in just a moment. Hello, KLKS, Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. On October 11th, starting at 6 p.m., both Senator Eric Lucero and Representative Walter Hudson will be joining me to answer any and all questions in answer to the corruption that we are experiencing within the Capitol walls in Minnesota. The days of complaining about what so many tolerate must come to an end. Enough is enough. It's time for lawful justice. This will be at Jack's Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota, October 11th. At 6 p.m.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Are you a true Berean? The Book of Acts commended the Bereans for testing everything against the Word of God, not just blindly following religious leaders. Hi, I'm Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, and for 30 years I've defied the religious status quo and fought for the lives of preborn children.
Very nice.
And one man I deeply admire is Bradley Dean.
I'm showing the audience.
His Bible, and he's not afraid to call out hypocrisy. He challenges the sacred cows and false assumptions with bold truth. You may disagree with them, and that's fine, but if you're a true Berean, you'll search the scriptures for yourself, just like he does, and the truth will set you free.
Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon government. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad, but if men be bad, the government will never be good. William Penn. Did you know that the University of Houston political science professors searched to find where the founding fathers chose their ideas? They assembled 1,500 writings from the era of the founders, and they researched for 10 years and isolated 3,154 direct quotes and identified the source of the quotes. Number one, 8.3% was quotes from Baron Charles D. Montesquieu. Number two, 7.9 was quotes from Sir William Blackstone. Number three, 2.9 was quotes from John Locke. And number four, 34% of their quotes came directly from the Bible. And when researching where Montesquieu, Blackstone, and Locke got their ideas from, they found that theirs came from the Bible as well. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. We have our friend Phil Turney with us right now, a survivor from USS Liberty. But with that, I want to introduce him as a friend. And I'm just waiting for this to tone down for a moment. Folks, I do want to say if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and or sonsoflibertymedia.com. Subscribe to those pages. There's a lot on both pages. Also, check out beforeitsnews.com. If you want to call in, we do have a guest today. You can do that. You can throw your question up on the board, or if you're on social media platforms, I'll do my best to kind of scan around a little bit to see what people are saying. That number's 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Also wanted to tell you, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that. We follow the Christ here, John 14:6. Now, if you're looking up on social media platforms, I got this gift from Phil Turney right here, and I actually got your bell right up here on my wall in the studio. And boy, oh boy, man, this has just really evolved into a quick friendship, and I just totally appreciate these guys. And I think what Phil's probably sensing is this guy really has a heart for his country. I do. And I have a heart for those that have paid the ultimate price to give us the freedoms that we have, probably more than anything else. And that's what makes me first and foremost a Christian, and that's why I honor him who died for me in 2 Corinthians 5:15. Well, I was just showing you the picture there, and what it says right up on the canvas, it says, "Remember the USS Liberty deliberately attacked by Israel on June 8th, 1967. The two-hour attack killed 34 American sailors and wounded 174, a false flag, only to blame Egypt." And I've done my homework only to find out that Johnson was all about it in hopes of creating a third world war. I'll let Phil address that in just a moment. But Phil also sent me over Sacrificing Liberty, and I haven't had time to see that. I just got it this week. But with that, without further ado, friends, let's go ahead and pull up our friend, Phil Turney. Phil, I totally appreciate you, guy. I hope you know that. I know that you've been on this show several times with both myself and Tim Brown. And I know as well, you have a lot to share with the American people, but I want to just kind of add a little insult to injury concerning what it is that you know. Yesterday, I was highlighting all of this Zionism and this allegiance, this blind allegiance by our said representatives to support a modern-day Israel that is created by the Rothschilds along with the Bellflower Compact or Declaration, which was all contrived by a man named Thomas Herzl, who was a God-hater. And somehow or another, in America today, you have all these professed Christians. That's all they are, Phil. They don't know the Word of God. If they took the time to know the difference, they would understand exactly what I'm talking about. But yesterday, I had a guy say, "Why are you bashing Israel? It's not Israel. Okay, we're the Israel of God. Christians are the Israel of God. What you call Israel are pretenders and counterfeits operating under a dissimulated fiend pretense of being clearly what they are not." And I just referenced them over back to Revelation 3:9. And for the life of me, I don't know what these people have to do, seriously, before they wake up to the fact that they are not at all who they claim to be. And look what it is that they're responsible for. So I thought the timing was perfect. And I again say that because I'm going to go ahead and pull up our friend, Phil Turney. Phil, welcome to the Sons of Liberty, my friend. I totally appreciate you. And I just want to open up the airwaves for you and just kind of speak to our world concerning exactly what it was that you experienced back in 1967, my friend, on the USS Liberty.
Oh, absolutely, Bradley. And thank you for the kind invite. And first and foremost, I want to say, All power goes to Jesus Christ, King of Kings.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons I'm here right now. He kept me alive to stay afloat and tell the truth about what's going on then and what's going on now in America. And I can start anywhere you want me to, Bradley. Just give me the go ahead.
I want to go back to 1967. I want to, if you'd be so kind as to go back to the ship. And I want you to tell us how this all emerged concerning this attack coming from the IDF.
Absolutely. We our normal steaming operations were off the west coast of Africa. This is the last cruise we made before we went into the Sinai. But we were in Abidjan, Africa. We got emergency orders to go to Rota, Spain as fast as we could go. We packed up at night. I mean, people were on the beach, you know, out having a drink, having a good time, whatever sailors do. And you know what sailors do. They like to drink and party. And that's what we were doing. And no doubt about that. And we got emergency orders to leave, to go to Rota. We picked up three linguists in Rota, Spain. They were marine linguists. Two of them were Russian. One of them was a Hebrew linguist, I believe. And a couple civilians, NSA, CIA-type personnel. And our ship was all NASA-controlled, run by the National Security Agency. Bradley, we didn't find out exactly what was going on until we got to Rota. Then we understood the Six-Day War was on, and we were going right in the middle of it. our captain, William McGonagall, and also our one of our famous officers aboard the ship, David Lewis. He was in charge of the communication spaces. They both asked for a destroyer escort because we're going into a war zone. We were told by higher command, you do not need a destroyer escort. You got American flag flying. You got clearly marked hull numbers, AGTR-5 on the front, both sides, 10 feet hull, and USS Liberty on the back. We arrived on station on June the 7th. We immediately became aware of Israeli aircraft reconning our ship over and over again. They'd come so low to the ship, they would dip their wings. In fact, they would even, the deck plates would rattle. DC-3, an old tail dragger, a flying boxcar, and this went on all morning and into the afternoon. The same thing, exactly same thing happened the next day on June the 8th. And, you know, if we weren't working, we'd be sunbathing out on deck. That's just what we always did. If we weren't working or had duties to do, we'd sunbathe. That's about all I had to do for, comfort and relaxation. But they saw us. They knew exactly who they were, who we were. They put us on their war table as friendly and American. They changed the watch, took us off the war table, and forgot we were there.
Hmm.
At 2 o'clock, the attack began with unmarked jet aircraft, Mystere and Mirage jets. At least 30 sorties were taken over our ship. 30 sorties of rockets, cannons, machine guns, napalm. This went on for approximately 25 minutes. Within the meantime, all our antennas were taken out within 3 seconds. Our .450 caliber machine guns were taken out in 3 seconds. A friend of mine, Terry Haldabardier, was a radio, and he did take one antenna off because it wasn't tuning properly. Now, all these antennas were tuning electronically. They had heat. So they sent heat-seeking missiles to get all the antennas. They got them all within 3 seconds. We were incommunicado. We couldn't talk to anybody until Terry got that one antenna out with the coaxial cable. Rockstar, under attack by unknown jet aircraft. Rockstar, send help. Immediately from the USS Saratoga, Captain Joseph Tully sent jet aircraft to come to our aid. Robert Strange McNamara got on the phone and said, return the aircraft. Return the aircraft back to Liberty. Do not help Liberty. Leave Liberty alone. Do not help Liberty. Moments after that, two volleys off the USS America and the USS Saratoga were launched to come help us. They went to a higher authority. They wanted higher authority, and that was Johnson. Johnson said, turn those GD aircraft back. I don't care about a few dead sailors. I will not embarrass my ally.
Yep.
So we were left out there alone with no help from our government. We were set up by our own government to be sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And I can go on, but if there's anything you want to ask, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just getting the perspective here as to what took place. I mean, that was a pretty quick transition as far as everything was fine. You're flying your flag, and then before you know it, you're under attack. And I can only imagine the response of the guys that were on that ship. Now, can I ask you really quick, because I got a hard break coming up on me. As a matter of fact, I'll ask you on the other side. Phil, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Folks, we're talking to USS Liberty survivor Phil Turney, and he's given us his testimony concerning exactly what took place on that date, June 8th, 1967, on the USS Liberty. So we're going to come right back. We got some questions.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think. And the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait.
If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Your love of liberty, your respect for the laws, your habits of industry, and your practice of the moral and religious obligations are the strongest claims to national and individual happiness. President George Washington. He goes on and says, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and a happier people than you are. Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention." The son of liberty, Samuel Adams, said, "Let ministers and philosophers, statesmen and patriots unite their endeavors to renovate the age of impressing the minds of men with the importance of educating their little boys and girls, inculcating in the minds of the youth the love of their country, of instructing them in the art of self-government, and in short, of leading them in study and practice of the exalted virtues of the Christian system."
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here, award-winning international journalist with Liberty Sentinel Media. We broke some of the critical stories exposing the COVID hoax, the lies about the injections, and so much more way before it was cool. We exposed the UN, the climate hoax, the U.S. government, and so much more, all from a biblical perspective, with a goal of bringing you all the information you need to keep your family and yourself happy, healthy, and free. Check us out at libertysentinel.org and subscribe for free at libertysentinel.org/subscribe.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hello, KLKS. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio. On October 11th, starting at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota, I will be there confronting the unlawful issues coming from the corrupt within the halls of our Capitol building in Minnesota and what it is that we are to do in lawfully responding to them. Both Senator Eric Lucero and Representative Walter Hudson will be joining me to answer any and all questions. Again, this will be at Jack's House Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota, October 11th at 6 p.m.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Just wanted to tell everybody thank you for joining us today. Again, we have our friend, Survivor Phil Turney from the USS Liberty. Phil, you just asked me. That was perfect, by the way. That was timed. We couldn't have got a better timing out of you than that. But, you know, one of the things that goes through me is you said that you guys were doing your duties and then you were sunbathing when you guys were all caught up. I'm just kind of curious in putting myself there so I can understand it more so, and that's what I'd want to convey to the listeners and viewers right now. What exactly, during that mayhem that took place, what was the initial response? What is it that you've seen during that attack? That's what I want to know. I want to know what it was like to stand on that ship and then finding out afterwards or throughout the duration of it that it was your own government that betrayed you. I mean, with those two thrown in there, what were your thoughts? What was going through your mind?
Well, we really didn't know who was attacking us, Bradley. We had no idea because the Israeli jets were blackened out or covered up. You couldn't see any markings on them. So they were, we thought it, the Arabs were coming to get us. And we had no idea. And you know, the initial attack was, you saw nothing but carnage of blood and bodies all over the place. It was simply a horror show that she didn't want to relive. But I've been reliving it for the last 58 years for the simple reason our own government set us up to be murdered by the Zionist state and get us into World War III. It was nothing but a land grab. But I'll go on further. With the torpedo boats, they got there, and we finally found out that it was the Israelis attacking us. We thought those torpedo boats were coming there to help us. No, they weren't. They were coming there to sink us. This went on for another hour and a half. They fired five torpedoes at us. One of them hit the starboard side in the research bases and killed 25 National Security Agency, CIA people, and blew them to bits. And this went on and on for 2 hours, or another hour and a half. The whole attack lasted 2 hours. No help ever came to us. They shot our life rafts out of the water. We only had three left. You know, there was over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets in this ship. Over 850 rocket and cannon holes. Napalm burning us up. And nobody coming to help us. We were all alone. And they continued that and continued that. They shot our only three life rafts out of the water. No survivors were to be taken. That's a war crime. They're all war crimes. So we sat out there for 17 or 18 hours by ourselves. Nobody came to help us. Not even our own government.
So you obviously the objective of those that were responsible for the attack was to sink the ship and then blame their political opposition to create World War III. Is that correct?
Absolutely. There were jet aircraft on the way from SAC in Nebraska even before we got attacked. And how would Johnson know to turn those plays around and wouldn't embarrass his ally? We didn't know who was attacking us. How did he know? You know, we were set up from the get-go, probably a year in advance. They just didn't figure this out in one day.
That's right.
They set us up.
Yeah, that's right. Let me go over to another point that you made, because I've watched videos, I've watched interviews with you in the past. What was it that an IDF helicopter, is that what it was, that kind of swooped down on you and you ended up giving him the finger? That's how close he was? What was that all about?
Yeah, there were we thought the attack was all over, Bradley. The IDF sent over helicopters with Marines in them, coming to finish us off. They were going to rope down or ladder down. It didn't make any difference. And all of a sudden, for some reason, they just left. I guess they confessed too early of their evil deeds, and they got busted around the world because they told everybody it was a mistake at that time. So I guess they called them off for that reason. But they could have went ahead and sunk us anyway and still got by with it. But we defeated the mighty IDF without lifting. I mean, all we had was our wits and our will to live, and by the grace of God, we stood there and took it.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to say this. So what was the objective, and how was it that our government, just let me insert this during this time of this interview here, Phil, what is the objective? Obviously to sink the ship, but how was it that the Israelis during this particular time got a hand over on our said politicians, even from that point to where we're at today, which is extreme? And we'll talk about that in a moment, but why is it that you felt, or what is it that you know that Lyndon Johnson, why was he so subservient to the Israelis during that particular time, especially if it was actually us supporting them? I'm curious.
Well, all he had was Israeli handlers around him, just like the current president, all of the since. Like Nixon said, he does not trust AIPAC. He hates AIPAC. Look what they did to him. But no, it's all about Israel. It's always been about Israel. They've infiltrated our government. 99% of our politicians are bought and paid for by the Zionist state. They get what they want when they want it. And America, the United States of America, is part and parcel responsible for the Gaza genocide, what's going on right now. And for the people around the world, especially in America, to put up with this crap. enough is enough. We're done. We don't want this.
What are your thoughts? That's right.
Get rid of these Israeli politicians is what we need.
Amen. Amen. And we see that everybody's got a handler except Thomas Massie, allegedly, up to this point, which is kind of curious to me. And then we find out 250 of our said legislators, our representatives in this government, are over in Israel during this assassination of Charlie Kirk, which I find peculiar. And then we find out that Netanyahu, whose real name is Mylakowski, is out there in his region talking about how he dictates his president and all of our politicians in the United States of America. What are your thoughts when it comes to that?
Well, everybody sees it, Bradley.
Yep.
Netanyahu brags about it. I control the Congress. I control Trump. I control it all. And it's very true. I mean, hey, we're on a government shutdown right now. Guess who's getting money from the United States government?
That's right.
Israel.
That's right.
Not the men and women that fight for this country, or not the people that make sure the skies are free of debris or whatever, or airplane crashes, controllers, they're not getting paid, but Israel is.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that, and that's one of those thoughts, and I want to propose this question to you. The Israeli government is receiving money from us, and if they didn't have our support, they couldn't survive. But yet somehow or another, and by the way, I have the answer. But somehow or another, they're dictating what our politicians are doing over here, namely the President of the United States of America. How does that work?
How does that work?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we don't give them the money, they can't do the things that they're doing. So they're taking money, they're extracting money from our tax coffers, and then they're reallocating it to Israel, modern-day Israel, under the Rothschilds. And somehow or another, they're taking money from us, but they're dictating our president and our Congress. How does that work?
Well, just look at Jeffrey Epstein. That'll tell you the whole story.
Thank you.
Bought and paid for.
That's right. They're extorted.
Bought and paid for. Yeah.
That's right.
Blackmailed. They're all blackmailed.
And that's a fact. I mean, there's no, and I think the reason that it's not been released up to this point is because obviously their names are all over it. But then again, the Mossad would lose its control over our politicians if it was released as well. So, and I know, Phil, that you're out and about talking about what's going on here, and we have to wake up going concerning what's going on with the Zionist state. So from 1967, I want to go fast forward to the present. How much worse has it gotten in the United States of America since even 1967 when you endured that attack by the IDF?
It's incalculable how worse it's gotten. It is so much worse. And we don't have a country of our own, especially when it comes to our politicians and the executive branch. And it's been that way for a long, long time, Bradley. You know that. It's just been that way. You know, if you want to get elected, you better take AIPAC money or they'll come down and they'll hammer you hard. You know, there's a lot of congressmen I was in contact with that have been driven out of office because they didn't support AIPAC. Jim Traficant, and Cynthia McKinney, Paul Finley, just so many others. And they got driven out because they didn't support Israel. So that's what they do. They control us, and we have nothing. How are we going to fight back, Bradley? How are we going to get out of this mess? Let me know.
Yeah, well, you were talking about the grace of God, and I trust him. I mean, that's the history of the church right there, my friend, is our backs are up against the wall. And it doesn't take a majority. It only takes a minority to call out upon him, and he answers. And when he answers, that's how he operates, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that's what we need to be doing as Americans, is understanding that we need to repent for our sins against him and return unto him that he might show mercy. But when you look at a country where you have 86% of the people that proclaim or profess to be clearly what they are not, Christians, I mean, Phil, can you imagine if 86% of the Christians in this country really practice what they preach? Do you think we would be in the predicament that we're in right now? Absolutely not.
No, and I'll tell you a short little story. I gave a speech at a church, a Zionist Christian church, with an Israeli flag out in front of it. And I told them the story, and this is just right after October 7th. and they had a prayer vigilance for Israel, not the Palestinians or the death and destruction, but for Israel to wipe them out. Now, is that Christianity? No, that's inhumanity.
Exactly, exactly. We're talking to our friend Phil Turney, USS Liberty survivor. We're going to take a quick break, and then I want to kind of throw some more questions at you, Phil, and I'm sure you're going to be more than happy to answer them. So, folks, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. We'll be right back. This is Bradley Dean from the sonsoflibertyradio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hello, KLKS. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio. On October 11th, starting at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota, I will be there confronting the unlawful issues coming from the corrupt within the halls of our Capitol building in Minnesota and what it is that we are to do in lawfully responding to them. Both Senator Eric Lucero and Representative Walter Hudson will be joining me to answer any and all questions. Again, this will be at Jack's House Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota, October 11th at 6 p.m.
Struggling to awaken the woke? Can't seem to cut through their brainwashing? Do you have friends and loved ones who fall in prey to the liberal leftist talking points? Perhaps someone deeply indoctrinated by communist college professors? Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that'll give you the ammo you need to make your point, with truth they can't deny. But warning, it may make them cry. Sign up now at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
President Franklin Roosevelt said, "We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of our republic."
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back again. Final segment, talking to our friend Phil Turney from the USS Liberty. Hey, Phil, you know, I want to make a point, and then I got a call here really quick. I guess you, as an American, a veteran that was on the USS Liberty, who was attacked by the IDF, somehow or another, that's not legitimate enough for those that profess to be Christians today. Somehow or another, were to find fault with Phil rather than those that they support. And we just had somebody that was kind of bent out of shape that we were talking in such a fashion that we are. Well, before the show, I'd actually highlighted the fact that these are the same people, these Zionists, from the synagogue of Satan. That's exactly what Scripture tells us in Revelation 3:9. It's interesting. Those are the people that are bashing us. And I said, if you see what they're responsible for concerning the genocide taking place in Gaza right now, do you think for one moment, if they're responsible for that and they're bragging about you know, basically dictating our president and the Congress and who we are as a country. Do you think that this isn't going to be aimed at you as well? Of course it will. And then what I did, Phil, is I highlighted the fact that these are the people that are trying to omit certain scriptures from the Bible. Dangerous business, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. On top of that, not only did they want to change scripture, they want to take away, you know, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but King Caesar. His blood be upon us. They want that removed because they don't want their fingerprints all over who was responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. Same spirits at work today. It's the spirit of Antichrist, John 8:44. But what I had said, Phil, was this. I said, these are the people over in Israel right now, modern day Israel, Rothschild's Israel, right now, that are trying to imprison Christians for proselytizing people to Christ. And these are the people bragging about the fact that they run our government and our president? Do you think that somehow or another this isn't aimed at you? That's insanity. And they get mad at the people trying to open their eyes by force and open their ears to the fact of the matter. I don't know how it gets more obvious than your testimony, Phil, as to who's responsible for what's going on in this country right now, even from 1967 and before that, by the way, to the present. What say you?
Absolutely. And, you know, those that throw the first stones better be a whole lot careful about it because, hey, listen, are they getting $7,000 a pop for, you know, information on the X or anywhere else, you know, against or promoting Israel? I don't know what this is all about, but the truth is the truth.
Yes.
I'm not lying, or my shipmates aren't lying, and we can prove it. They got by with cold-blooded murder, and our government was part of it then and now, and that's just the way it is. It has nothing to do with, Jews. It has everything to do with power and money, and guess who owns it all?
Yep. And we need to make distinction between the Jews of the Lord and the Israel of God and what we're talking about here, because the Zionists and the synagogue of Satan, they're two different categories. They're trying to play the victim while, in fact, they're the ones doing the attacking. And that's exactly what their father, the devil, does all day long, Revelation 12:10. He's the accuser of the brethren. Accuse others of what you're guilty of. And that's what we find here. Phil, I want to go ahead and answer this question. Call here really quick, and I hope it's pertinent concerning what it is that we're talking about here. John, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend?
Hi, Bradley, and thank you, Phil, for your service.
You're welcome.
I just have a pertinent question that I don't know, and it's an honest one. Who within CENTCOM gave the orders for the Liberty to go to Spain and then to go to the Eastern Mediterranean? And who was in charge of CENTCOM, whether it be for the U.S. and Israel, during that time? Because I understand the part about Johnson being the final arbiter.
Okay.
But who were these people that were following these orders?
Okay, now hang on a second, John.
Good question.
Okay. Phil, we got John asking a question right now, and he's asking who gave the orders concerning the things that took place on that particular day. He said he realized that Johnson was the, you know, the buck stops here guy as far as the highest authority. But who gave the order above him, and how was it that it went through without anybody putting a stop to it? I hope that was right, John.
My answer to that is Levi Eskol, Prime Minister of Israel at the time. Johnson and him were working hand in hand. Anything he told Johnson to do, he did. And, of course, Johnson was shipping weapons even back in 1948 in grapefruit carts to the terrorists, Ogun and the other ones that were killing all the Palestinians. So he has a long list. He is Jewish, by the way. His daughter, you know, said they went to bar mitzvahs and everything. It's always a Jewish connection.
Yep.
Always a Jewish connection.
Yeah. Well, even if you go back to Mayakovsky, again, the guy that parades around talking about how his name is Mayakovsky, we know that every prime minister since the inception of Rothschild's Israel has fallen onto a false alias, a false name. And they all claim to be Hebrew when, in fact, there's no Hebrew DNA in each and every one of them. So if that's not enough to tell the people that they're being lied to, I don't know how you help a people like that They could be transported to the sun, Phil, and they wouldn't see it because they don't want to see it at that point. Let me get to a couple more questions. I got you for four more minutes, my friend. We're talking to USS Liberty survivor Phil Turney and how the IDF attacked them back in 1967, June 8th. And he had already given us the testimony concerning what took place there. And I want to make the most of our time. We've had him for three segments. This is the last segment. And Phil, what I want to propose to you right now is, I know Ben Shapiro, just like Charlie Kirk, they opposed your testimony concerning the USS Liberty. And I also know that you challenged them to basically debate you publicly concerning the facts of the matter. It's interesting, is it not? And I say that facetiously, almost understanding how the mainstream media operates today. But it's interesting that both Ben and Charlie Kirk would basically renounce your claim, and yet you were on that ship. Did they ever take you up on that offer to debate them publicly? And if not, then why not?
No, they never did. And, you know, with Charlie Kirk, I think the worm has turned with him, his faith and his relationship with Candace Owens and like-minded people turned him around, and he was afraid about being killed by Israel. He said that. He was afraid of it. So that's what got him killed, I believe. It was hit by the Israelis. I don't know how they did it, exactly how they did it, but Charlie Kirk is dead as a doornail, and nothing has come of it. And it's unthinkable. I can't believe it. But as far as Ben Shapiro, I just sent another text to him today about, tell me about the conspiracy theory you're telling me I'm talking about. You explain that to me. I've never heard anything from him.
And obviously, but it's interesting how he gets all the, prime time views. The cameras are up to his face. The microphones are up to his mouth whenever he takes the time to denounce that. I think when you have a guy like Ben Shapiro, we've had him on the show before. This is years ago. But it's interesting how he would equate Jesus Christ as a common criminal on Joe Rogan's program. And people still can't figure out that he is a part of the problem in this country. Many people say that he's a Mossad agent within the United States. Well, he's got a lot of good things to say, but it's what he's not saying that the American people should be bothered by. What say you, Phil, concerning what I just said about Ben Shapiro? Because I'm curious. I really am.
Well, Ben Shapiro will not talk to me or any other person about the USS Liberty that has any knowledge, because he's afraid of the truth. He cannot overcome the truth. That's why he won't say he can call me conspiracy theorist. He can call me anything he wants, but the truth is the truth. And there's one thing I have on my side, he doesn't, and that's God.
Amen. Yeah, so he feeds on the Talmud, which he operates through a spirit of Antichrist. And when you see his allegiance to what we're talking about right now, responsible, those that were responsible for attacking the USS Liberty, and really being used to attack anybody and everybody that they want to, at the expenditure of the blood of our boys to fight their battles for them, I just come back to the point, what is it going to take for the American people to wake up? I have you for one more moment, Phil, and I totally appreciate your time, and I wish we had another segment, but how do people get a hold of you if they so choose to do so?
Yes, well, I have a podcast, the Phil Turney podcast. If they would go to that, it's on YouTube and Rumble and things like that, and if they want to get a hold of me, they can do it through there. But that their support would also help. I'm on my sixth episode doing good. I've had a lot of survivors on. You got to watch it. You hear some stuff you've never heard before. But God bless you. I appreciate it, Bradley. And to your wife, it's you love your wife.
I totally appreciate you as well, Phil. Now, for our radio friends, just hang on a second, Phil. For our radio friends, we love you by what we do. 1 John 3:18. I will see you in 23. Again, we totally appreciate you taking the time today. We're talking with USS Liberty survivor Phil Turney. Okay, we should be good now. Phil, I'm curious. I know that when I first was introduced to you, I was introduced to you by watching you on, it was a link that someone sent to me where you were being interviewed by Candace Owens. And I know Candace Owens said that she was going to support you every year from that point on. Has that come through, or is that just, and I don't mean to be intrusive, I'm just curious to know if she's a woman of her word.
100%.
Amen. Okay, well,
100%.
Okay, and so do you feel that she really helped get that message out concerning the one that you're sharing with us today?
Absolutely. 6.5 million views in the first couple days, so that's the biggest one she's ever had.
Okay.
For one episode.
Has there been any response from the said president of the United States of America? Because I know that you made an appeal to him concerning who he was allied with during that interview.
Yes. Did get something back. It was a form letter. We appreciate your service and all this stuff. Just a form letter. It never mentioned a word about the USS Liberty, what we asked about. And that's the same thing I got. Bill Clinton got a letter from him. Same thing. All the same thing.
Just to appease you.
Senators and congressmen. Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk to you about this, but we love you.
Yeah, that's insanity. It really is. And the people would have it so because they just allow them to continuously do it over and over and over again. They're never held accountable for the crimes that they commit against the people. And in any people, in any country, when you tolerate this, this is what brings about the downfall and the destruction of a country. And you can read Isaiah 59 if you get some time, friends. But I also wanted to ask you as well, Phil, what kind of doors have opened up for you to get your message out there? Have you gone, you know, full-time now, just doing interviews and being interviewed and speaking engagements in the Gist?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I've gone. And, you know, doing my own podcast is really helpful. And I get requests all the time. I'm writing a new book, Stay Afloat. And that would be out in about somewhere in January, which would be very, very informing, more ways than one. So I'm looking forward to the future, and God willing, I stay alive long enough. I'll be 79 here pretty quick, but I'm still going.
Well, you
and
look
I'm not
good.
Afraid of it.
You look good. You got your other friends that were on that ship as well. Are they out there dissimulating the same, promulgating the same information as you are?
They're on my podcast doing it.
Okay, awesome. And are they out there engagements as well, publicly?
Yeah, some do. If you'd like any of them on your show, I'll make sure that they'll get on there with you.
Okay. Well, where would their, and again, I'm just curious, where would their testimony be any different than the one that you're sharing with us right now? Just perspective?
Well, there's a lot of different eyes aboard that ship, and I was just one of them. And I want their eyewitness testimony. I want their eyes to tell me in their heart where they came from. And that's what I get in these interviews. It's actually very sad, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Eye-opening.
Yes. And the younger generation's getting a hold of this. And I think, if anything, Phil, you know, I mean, the younger generation, they're going to have to fight unlike the older generation in many ways because of what's been dumped on them. And that's why you're seeing the younger people rise up. You know, people can call them stupid all that they want to. And the fact is, they may not have the knowledge, but when you give them the knowledge, not only do they discern like crazy, but they're willing to actually put feet to the knowledge that they now received. And that's why we want these testimonies on these programs. It's that vital and it's that important.
Well, social media, the younger people are not stupid, man. They are smart. They're smart, smart, smart people. You know, and I really love them for that. I mean, they're energized. They want to get out there. They want to talk. They don't want to be lied to. They make up their own mind. When they see dead babies or starving babies, they can figure it out from themselves. They don't need CNN or Newsmax or Fox News telling them what to think or what not to think. They can see it for themselves.
Amen. Can I just go ahead and propose one more question? Because I just thought of something I should have brought up during the radio interview. But it's okay because we still have you now. One of the things that when I watched the interview on one of your podcasts, it was interesting that you had said once you guys were kind of, you got off the ship, you got back to the mainland, and then you had your senior officers basically address you. Can you go ahead and share with the people in ending the show today as to what they shared with you and basically telling you to, it goes no further than this? Can you relay that experience with us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. It happened the morning after all the wounded were taken off to the USS America and other craft for definitive care, because there was a lot of seriously wounded people. 2 days out at sea, we were headed to Malta. Admiral Isaac Kidd and Captain Ward Boston, his JAG officer, came aboard our ship and interrogated us. In fact, the Admiral took off his stars. He said, "Talk to me just like a man. I'll tell you exactly. I'm like your dad. Tell me everything we did." And after we did, he put his stars back on. He said, "Don't you ever repeat a word about what you told me to anybody, especially the news, your parents, anybody, or I'll make sure you end up in Leavenworth or worse." Excuse me. You know what that means? So that's how we got dressed down. Shut up or else. I didn't talk about it for 18 years until I read an article about it. And I told my wife now, after 43 years, about it. She couldn't believe it, but she stood by me all this time, as many others have. But the real story is they want a lid on this worse than they do the Epstein files. Can we blow this whole damn thing apart?
Got it. So when he said that to you, was there anybody that had the intestinal fortitude during that time to go ahead and test their steel, metaphorically speaking, concerning his warning to basically shut up or else?
Well, we had been broken down with the attack.
Yep.
We were broken down very badly.
Right.
And then to be admonished by your own government for staying alive, that's about all a man can took.
Yep.
Can take was that, and that's what they did to us. They beat us down to where we were nothing but scum on a shoe. But after 18 years of silence, I figured out I wasn't scum on a shoe.
Amen.
And I've been talking about it ever since. So I'm not going to shut up until I'm dead.
Amen. So, again, I'm sorry. These things are coming back up now, Phil. And, again, I got you here. What are your thoughts on Robert McNamara? I mean, he was just, to me, from start to finish, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, a devil incarnate. What are your thoughts on that guy?
Absolutely. He was a liar.
Yeah.
He lied about Vietnam. He lied about the USS Liberty. In fact, he says, "I know nothing about the USS Liberty. Don't ask me about it. I know nothing. I don't know anything about the USS Liberty." He's the one that recalled the jet aircraft. What are these type of people that run our government then and now? It's even worse now. I mean, come on. We're giving all this money to Israel to murder little people, little babies, yep, starving to death, take their homes. I mean, my God, look at Gaza 2 years ago and look at it now. It's nothing but a wasteland.
That's exactly what it is.
Destruction. Whoever sets foot on that land to go be in paradise, they're going to be walking on death, the death of babies. It will forever, ever, it'll be unholy land.
Yes, I totally agree. And by the way, the desolation that I've seen over there is unlike anything I've seen in my time. It really, truly is. Well, Phil Turney, I totally appreciate you, guy. I do want to say, if there's anything that we can do, anything pops up that's of importance that you need to get it out on the radio, we'll do our best to accommodate. And again, we just totally appreciate you, my friend. We really do.
Thank you, Bradley. And if you get a chance, send this to me.
I'll do it. Yeah, I was thinking, okay. Yeah, I'll send it to you. You'll have it within 5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you. All right, bye-bye, folks. Love you by what we do. We'll talk to you in 23. See ya.